Blog Talk Radio.
Joining us, it is Sunday, September 17th, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico.
Hi, good evening, everyone. This is Lori Picka from Michigan. I hope everyone is doing well this evening, and we hope we have a great show tonight.
Yes, walk. What does it mean to you? Is it a bad thing necessarily? How can we stop injustice, sexism, and hate against LGBTQ and other marginalized groups in America? As far as Republicans are concerned, the woke mentality is destroying America. Others feel it is necessary in a time when the selfish me culture is tearing us apart. Stay woke, America, or democracy depends on it. It's fight or flight at this point. We will not back down from right-wing tyranny and hate. Not now, not ever. Thanks for joining us tonight and sharing across all social media. Call in and have your say. The number is 515-605-9802. Say first name, where you're calling from, and please don't speak over us as the host or any other callers and turn off all background noises. Visit our official website for articles and merchandise on sale. It's www.kitchenpolitics123.com. Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. We're not anti-social, just anti-stupid. Let's get cooking. So, Lori, what is woke?
Well, I'm just going to read the definition quickly because I personally didn't really know what woke was when DeSantis started talking about it, so I decided to look it up. The definition of woke changes depending on who you ask. The term has recently been used by some conservatives as an insult against progressive values. The term, however, was originally coined by progressive Black Americans and used in racial justice movements in the early to mid-1900s. To be woke politically in the Black community means that someone is informed, educated, and conscious of social injustice and racial inequity. That is a Merriam-Webster dictionary. That's what they state. One of its early uses was in a historical recording of the protest song Scottsboro Boys by Lead Belly. In that recording, it was used as a term about staying aware of the potential for racist violence against a Black person in America. The term, in one of its contemporary meanings, began to gain more popularity at the start of the Black Lives Movement in 2014, according to Merriam-Webster Dictionary. Woke has been used by former President Donald Trump, Florida Governor Ron DeSantis, and several Trump-backed midterm candidates, including Carrie Lake and member Dr. Oz. Woke is defined by DeSantis' administration as belief there are systematic injustices in American society and the need to address them, according to DeSantis' general counsel, as reported by the Washington Post. He went on to say, and we reject woke ideology. We will never, ever surrender to the woke agenda. People have come here because of our policies. No, that is not why people have come to this country. Absolutely the opposite to Satan. So that's basically what woke is. It's just a person. I'm woke. I can say that wholeheartedly. I am a woke person. I know what's going on. I know about social injustice. I know about LGBTQ rights, and I know what's going on in America. It's not closed behind a curtain anymore. And I know, David, I know you are woke as can be as well. So for our listeners, that's what woke is.
Yes, so, you know, there's nothing wrong with being woke. You just, when you walk, you have compassion. You care about your fellow human being. You're aware of the problems that's going on. You try to bring solutions with a woke attitude and everything. But right away, when you ask them what woke is, they give all sorts of variations. And that's not what woke is. You know, so Republicans and their supporters are stupid and ignorant when it comes down to what woke is. You know, I think woke is necessary in America because the political incorrectness or incorrect attitude, especially from Trump, you know, the words that come out of his mouth is very hateful and rhetorical, you know. And remember, for example, when he was running and call majority non-white countries in the world, shithole nations, a problem, you know, you could call that racism and bigotry. And that's what America don't need, more racism and bigotry. Trump is a problem. He's a symptom of the problem. But the problem has been transpired in America since the beginning of time, since the beginning of the Republic. And it is not going away anytime soon. But we can do our little part and, you know, be nice to the other person, you know, no matter what color or creed or religion or foster, because it don't take skin off your back to be nice and be thoughtful and to be human. So we're going to ask everybody, you know, to call in and weigh in and, you know, what's your idea of working and, you know, how can America improve race relations, anti-sexism, and, you know, just being decent to your fellow human beings. The number again, 515-605-9802. Say first name where you're calling from and turn off all background noise. And please don't talk over us. If you do talk over us, you're going to get cut off. So, three calls line up. We're going to get a first call from Michigan. Hello, welcome to Kitchen Politics 123. What's cooking tonight, Elaine?
Oh, good evening, everybody. Nothing much except I'm very, very upset with the Meet the Press. Here we've got Joe Biden, the sitting president of the United States of America, doing an awesome job backing the workers of the big three that took massive concessions a few years ago on strike. And what does Meet the Press do? They interview Trump. And it's an old interview. It's a couple weeks old. This is today's news, Joe Biden and the strike. I'm a little upset with the press. Not a little upset. I am very upset with the press. Joe Biden should have taken front and center today on Meet the Press. Front and center. That should have been the whole show on what a good job Joe Biden is doing and what these people need to survive. Not Trump. I am sick and tired of seeing Trump's face on that TV. My opinion. And I think there's a lot of other people feel the same way.
Oh, yeah. I do agree with you. I was kind of taken back with Meet the Press as well. The only good thing that came out of it is that he did incriminate himself by saying that he was the one that basically orchestrated that said that the election was, you know, rigged and it was his idea to go forward, you know, with the whole debacle that happened. But I agree with you as far as not putting our president on Meet the Press. I find that also, how do I put it? It's not disgraceful, but it's, you know, he should be, yes, the center right now. He truly should. He should be the center. You know, the UAW is on strike. We're on day three. He did come out and say that he did support the UAW workers. He said that, you know, they took cuts and that the big three, you know, Stellantis, Ford, and Chrysler, Stellantis, Ford, and GM, I'm sorry, are making record profits. And I'll go through that in a few minutes. And they need to share. But this is a problem in our country. These corporations are making billions of dollars, and they do not want to share with the employees that are making them the money on a daily basis. It's
when
disgusting.
The big three was in trouble, and they were in big trouble,
yes,
the people said, we will help you be successful. We are the big three. They took massive cuts. They kept the three-tier system. They took cuts in retirement benefits. All the way down the line, they took cuts. Okay, now the big three is successful because of its workers. Not its CEOs, its workers.
Yep.
And this is how they're being treated? Well, I think there's something wrong with the picture.
There is something wrong. Greed. Just, it's greed. I mean, there is no other way to put it. It's flat out greed. They can't see the forest through the trees. They just can't. The only thing they see is green money. That's it.
Greed.
Bottom line.
Greed. They figure that they want to keep the people barefoot. They want to keep the women pregnant and barefooted, and they want to keep the men barefooted and digging trenches. They don't want it.
No.
Yeah, we'll have another call.
Go ahead.
We'll have another call from Michigan. I think this is Eric. Hello.
Okay.
Welcome to the show. What's cooking tonight?
Yep, it's me, everybody.
Hi, Eric.
Mm.
Yep, so I'm to bounce on what Elaine said, I'm perfectly on board with that we Yeah, the thing that's upset me, and like I said, I've felt this way since CNN gave Trump the town hall, is that they're giving him attention, and it's not just they're giving him attention. They're doing it in the wrong way. They gave him a town hall, and then they also somebody needs to get on there and talk about the Biden-Harris accomplishments, like Elaine said, and that's why I feel, you know what? And I've talked about it for a while, and I should probably just send an email to CNN and MSNBC executives and say, let me get on here and just talk. I don't even care if I get paid for it. Just let me do it, because we have these accomplishments are not being emphasized enough, and this is exactly why we do this show, and this is why I'm here. And people like us have to make noise about this.
But, Eric, there's a little bit more to the story, and I don't think Midas's touch on, I forget which social media they're on. I'm more interested in the fact. They brought out the fact that the right wing, about a month ago, treated all of the left, they call them the left wing reporters, CNN, to a dinner.
Mm-hmm.
And they cooed them and wooed them. And this is what Trump got. He cooed him and wooed him, and now they're cooing and wooing him. And I think that ought to be brought out. That was brought out on the Midas Touch, and they don't lie on that program, on that podcast.
No, I've not seen. I haven't had the time to look at that, but I will. And if they did that, that's disgusting.
It was a $95 a plate, a dinner, and then the dessert was I think they said it was Ryan's specialty, which was chocolate pudding dumped on a plate. And it explained the only ones that were there was the left-wing media. And this is just too much of a coincidence. I am getting so sick and tired of it. We know they're all owned by Republicans, and it's getting to be disgusting. I am tired of the right wing trying to run everything, trying to put us people in earlier graves.
Oh, of course.
The thing about the right wing, they want to define what wokeism is, but I can't describe what wokeism is. They want to cancel other people for doing the right thing and for speaking out against injustices and hate.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, what you accuse them of, which they're doing, they turn back around, calling it reverse racism and what have you. And, you know, like left-wingers and socially conscious people, they're empathetic towards, like, the LGBTQ community, for example. And, when a right-winger, like, chastise the gay lifestyle and LGBTQ, you know, when you complain or say something about defending the LGBTQ community, you're being called a snowflake and, oh, yes, a friend, you know, you're not for family values and what have you. Perfect example, Lauren Boebert. You know, you saw what happened to her in the cinema there when she was watching Beetlejuice years ago. She preached one thing, does another thing in public with children probably her own. You know, so that's the modus operandi of the right wing. Want to cancel people for how to choose and live their lifestyle, but they're doing even worse things. You get what I'm saying? And with the UAW strike, for example, you know, what fueling inflation is greed, their greed. They claim that trickle-down economics work when they get the big tax breaks from Trump and Republicans that invested back into hiring people, training people, what have you. But what they're doing is exporting jobs, outsourcing jobs to countries with no unions, no minimum wage, like going to China, Indonesia, what have you. You know, so they have these right-wing people are just so upset.
Here's the problem I can see. The president of the United States is Joe Biden. It is not former Orange Man. It is Joe Biden. We have a national strike that was called a couple days ago. That is the headline news. CNN, that hasn't got anything to do with right, left, or in between. That is the news of the day, not an interview that was done a few weeks ago, period. That's the bottom line, and that is the whole gist of this. This is why I'm so hopping mad. That interview was done a few weeks ago. That interview could come on next week or the month after. This is the news of today.
It could be.
And
dead,
CNN had no business doing that on Meet the Press. And she could just go to hell as far as I'm concerned. She is wrong in what she did, and so is CNN.
Yep.
I mean, MSNBC, Kristen Welker, Meet the Press. That's the interview you're speaking of, right?
It's a lady. My head is just full of the facts. People's names to me right now aren't important, but it's the facts.
Right,
yes,
David.
Kristen Welker on NBC Meet the Press. Yes,
you're right.
Yeah, man, we'll get what
he's
saying, Elaine. Yes, man.
That's just wrong.
So I'm gonna play
that is totally
I'm
wrong.
I'm going to play
this strike didn't happen a month ago. It's happening now. And Meet the Press was on the air today.
UAW strike into the third day, and we're going to play this clip, this news highlight of what's transpired today in this third day of strike by UAW workers.
Auto workers' strike against General Motors, Ford, and Stellantis has entered its third day. It's the first time members have struck all three unionized U.S. automakers at the same time. CBS2's Skylar Henry explains.
From Avon, Ohio to Wayne, Michigan, 13,000 United Auto Workers members are striking.
I'm here for the long haul.
Yep.
Long haul. Five to be out here. Rain, sleet, snow, thunderstorm, tornado. Striking.
The demands? A 36% raise, in part to cover cost of living increases and to unwind concessions made during the Great Recession.
Most of us can't even afford the vehicles that we're building.
And as the industry shifts towards electric vehicles, workers want a bigger role in the manufacturing and more job security. Union President Sean Fain says the auto executives are out of touch with their blue-collar workers.
Okay. Labor costs are about 5% of the cost of the vehicle. They could double our wages and not raise the price of the vehicles and still make billions in profits. It's a choice.
The counteroffer from Ford, GM, and Stellantis, the parent company of Jeep and Chrysler, are about half of what the union wants.
It's a record from a gross wage increase perspective in our 115-year history.
GM CEO Mary Barra, who made nearly $29 million last year, says they can't afford the union's demands.
For the life of the contract, the initial demands were over $100 billion.
President Biden sent a team to Detroit to help negotiations. He said last week the automaker should share the record profits. Skyler Henry, CBS News, the White House.
Okay, so yes, the CEO for General Motors made $29 billion last year.
$100,000 a week.
Oh, my God, that's so disgusting and greedy. You know, while the workers struggle. You know, as the report said, that when I spoke to a striking worker, that some of the cars on the bill, they can't afford to buy, you know? That's sad.
No.
That's sad.
The cars, David, have gone up at least 30%. At least 30%. GM CEO made $29 million in 2020. Stellantis' CEO made almost $25 million in 22, and Ford's CEO made $21 million in 2022. That's a, you know, that's think about that for a second. You know, you just have to put it into pardon?
Yeah, workers have been taking concessions for decades. So the UAW have my full support because these CEOs are liars and their greed knows no bounds. You know, I stand with workers, as does a majority of Americans. Imagine being a full-time factory line worker building hundreds, maybe thousands of Rubicons and driving home a 96 Honda Civic each night while CEO making millions per year. You know, come on, man. You know, why?
And
to have the nurses that don't have the money to pay these workers.
The other thing is that someone that retired in 1986 from the Big Three earns more than in Social Security and pension than workers bring home now. Think about that for a second. A retired worker earns more, bringing their Social Security and their pension more than the workers are making now from 1986. The other thing I wanted to mention, GM made $22 billion in profits in 22. Ford, in the first months ending in June of 23, made $25 billion in profits. Stellantis, this is a smaller company, but made $17 billion in 22. You know, I think that they can share a little bit of their profit with their employees instead of doing buybacks, you know, to their stockholders and their beholden, you know. They don't need to do that. They need to take care of their employees. They have, especially GM, has quite a few temporary workers. They hire them temporarily. They say they're temporary, but some of them have been working there 2, 3, 4 years, and they're still not on full time, you know, hired on full time, and they make $17 an hour. to work at the big three, a multi-billion dollar corporation. If that's not greed, what is it?
One of the things that the workers want is they want to eliminate the two-tiered system. So the workers are not greedy. They want the person standing next to them that's doing the same job to earn the same wage. They want the two-tiered system to be eliminated. There are people that come in there. They have been working all these years and a lot less pay than what the person standing next to them.
Yeah.
And they're in lockstep together. The people in those plants are in lockstep together. They want everybody to be treated fairly, evenly.
Mm-hmm. Yep, absolutely.
You know, there's another narrative out there that just makes me sick. I am sick and tired of the right wing calling workers drug addicts, drunks, and whores. And that is what they keep calling the workers. I'm getting sick of that. Those people go to work in the morning. They work their long shifts. Many times they work on weekends. They have to tell their family, I have to go in to work. And yet the right wing has the nerve to call them names like that?
Well, of course they do.
It's time. It's time we start fighting back. The people that work in these plants are not on drugs, they are not alcoholics, and they are not whores.
You know, in order
we could check Congress because, you know, certain members of Congress act very whorish, not calling any names. And they're liars and crooks for the most part. You know, this whole evolving door. You know, for example, Lauren Boebert and Marjorie Taylor Greene, this is the second term they're serving. Somebody have something in the background, make noise and stop it. Yeah, so Boebert and MTG serving the second terms in Congress. They came in there broke as hell, but no, look how rich they are. Isn't that so disgusting? I mean, how does that happen in 4 years? You know, and you just make $174,000 a year in congressional salary. What is that? You know?
Well, maybe they need to be
it's not only these auto workers, CEOs that are rich and out of touch, but members of Congress, current members of Congress. You know, I'd have to cut out now because, you know, people are so sick and tired and fed up of the bullshit that's happening. You know, and the myth that Republicans are fiscally responsible and better for the economy is a lie, because when Ronald Reagan came in, he took in the deficit from $70 billion to $175 billion in the 8 years he was in there. Bush 41 took it from Reagan and raised to $300 billion. Bill Clinton got it to zero and left office with an $86.4 billion surplus. And within 9 months, George W. Bush, Bush 43, took it from zero to $1.2 trillion, which was quote-unquote war on terror. You know, and Obama halved it to $600 billion, and then Trump added $7.8 trillion, the largest peacetime budget deficit in American history, and the national debt exceeding 100% of the economy for the first time since World War II. So Biden now tries to reduce the deficit by $1.4 trillion by the end of his second year in office. And he's the best president since FDR. I don't care what anybody say, because, you know, Biden, his record proved it, and he's showing the world, you know, Republicans are not fiscal responsible. And, you know, trickle-down economics don't work. It takes a Democrat to pull us out of the hole that these so-called fiscal conservative supply-side economics Republicans always dig us in, this big hole, this massive, you know, gap. It has to stop.
Absolutely has to stop. It's, like I said, you know, they talk about inflation every single day, and they stop one, you know, they stop at one paragraph short of saying, well, inflation is really caused by the greedy corporations that are making billions of dollars every single year, and they're raising their prices, and they don't have to raise their prices
mm-hmm.
because the wages aren't up fast enough to pay for everything. People are struggling
mm-hmm.
because of that. And who do they blame? President Biden and the Democrats. That's who they blame for corporate greed.
Mm-hmm.
Corporate greed blames the workers, and they wouldn't be successful without the workers.
Yeah.
There was a union leader that was ahead of all the dock workers, and we're going back to the 30s, 40s, and I don't remember his name, but he was the head of the dock workers, and he was at a rally, and he said to the workers, he said, if they could unload these boats without you, they would do it. So never think management is your friend.
Mm-hmm.
He's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
That's so true. It's very true. You know.
Mm-hmm.
They had the attitude, you know, they were in hard times. And, you know, the automobile industry suffered hard times. A lot of businesses do. And that they suggested to the people, when we're successful again, pick our pockets. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm.
Same old,
yep.
Same old. Mm-hmm. And then there's baloney today with Meet the Press. That just added the icing on the cake for me to make me awful hopping mad today.
Oh, I know.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It should have been Joe Biden. Mm-hmm. It should not have been Trump.
Well, you know what? You know what?
Shame on them. Shame on them.
You know what?
We don't have to continuously push it. We shouldn't have to continuously push it. That's their job
mm-hmm.
to talk about who's in office now. But they were
mm-hmm.
courted. They were courted by Trump and his buddies. And they got
mm-hmm.
caught.
Mm-hmm.
Eric, you want to say something?
Well, you know what? Let me just add this in. And this is why I say, you know what? Pretty soon I am going to, and by the way, I might have time to do it tonight after I do a couple of movie reviews because I just seen some additional stuff. So I'm going to add that to my channel. After that, I'll be sending a video or two to CNN, MSNBC, NBC, ABC, CBS, Washington Post, New York Times, Huffington Post, LA Times, and say the main objective, the main focus right here is we have an upcoming presidential election, and the way we win, or a huge factor that contributes to us winning, is talking about the accomplishments and the successes, or even at least the attempted accomplishments, of the current presidential White House administration. And if they want to cover the last guy, then, you know, it's first of all, they're not calling him out the right way. They're only focusing on the indictments, which is probably going to speak for itself. But if they want to also really, really tell independent voters, you know, convince them that they shouldn't vote for this guy, or undecided voters, let's remember, when he ran in 2016, he ran as an outsider candidate, and he ran like he was anti-establishment. But then when he got to office,
mm-hmm.
he did all of the same things that Bush and Cheney and the Reagans did, plus more. So this guy ran
mm-hmm.
against outsourcing, but then he outsources almost three times as many jobs as Obama did. And so
mm-hmm.
if they're going to cover Trump, that's how they need to be covering him. And then they have to make Trump find a way to answer to that, which he cannot. And no Republican supporting him or anybody in his administration could answer that. And all the meanwhile, you know, he refuses to sign the American Rescue Plan Act, but then he loses the election, and then Biden gets office, and then he signs it. They have to make people see that, understand it, and get Trump to explain that, which he won't. He can't. That's where we have to put the pressure at.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And put
mm-hmm.
Eric, today, Biden and the UAW was the news. That was the news.
I agree. Not just
and it
agreeing.
Wasn't old. So when you
mm-hmm.
do your emails, make sure you harp on that for me, please.
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing that I want to remind everybody about 14 years ago, when the big three automakers were struggling to stay afloat, this administration and the American people stepped in to support them. So did the auto workers and the UAW, who sacrificed pay and benefits to help get the companies back on their feet. Now that our car makers are enjoying robust profits, it's time to do the right thing by those same workers so the industry can emerge more united and competitive than ever. Barack Obama. That is what he said. And he's absolutely right. Remember 14 years ago? That would be 2008, yes. I believe. And
remember 14 years ago also that Mitt Romney said, oh, let the car industry die. The Republicans didn't give a damn about the car industry. Look at the car industry now. It's an immense sacrifices by workers, you know, and now they're shitting on workers that always do. Come on now. Do better than that GM. Ford, whoever else. It's bad. It looked bad and disrespectful to workers in America.
Well,
so now we switch. We're going to switch. Okay, go ahead, Lori.
I just want to say one last thing. There might be a silver lining to this because the spotlight is on these three huge billion-dollar corporations now, and they have to make good on something. They have to. These workers, I've heard them interviewed. I've heard what they've said. They are receiving $500 a week from their union. So a lot of them knew the strike was coming. They said that they will stay on the picket line no matter how long it takes. This is what America needs. And we need more of it, not just the big three. We need more of it. Look at what happened with UPS. They went out. They were going to go on strike. They got the best contract that they ever received in all time. And they're happy. And they're working. But they work hard as well. And UPS is another billion-dollar, you know, makes billions of dollars in profits as well. So share with your employees. Make them feel worthwhile. Give them what they deserve. And everyone will flourish. Everyone.
Exactly. And UAW workers asking for 36% in raise. You know, that goes with inflation. You have to keep up with inflation and surpass inflation to help people move forward. You know, you can't pay your bills and what they're getting paid. No, that's ludicrous. That's evil. That's wicked. You know, even the job I work at, you know, there is a clause in the contract saying that, you know, you have a raise based on inflation. So inflation raise. And every company, whether small, medium size, or big, should have that reason being is because people need to survive. They have school school fees to pay. They have college to pay. They have mortgage, rent, food, gas, car payment, you know, things like that. So just be considerate for corporations. You know, you don't need $29 million a year. I mean, what the hell do you do as a CEO to earn $29 million? Nothing. You know, you can eat a steak 7 days a week. You can drive your fancy cars and everything. But just consider the workers. Because the sacrifice and put all in there to save the auto industry in America, while Republicans turn their backs on the auto-making industry in America, and yet still the CEOs of these companies want to shit on these workers. We're not where we have it. This is not the America, you know, that I came to, and this is certainly not the America I want to die in, because we can do better than this. You know, just have a heart, you know? You know, be woke. But anyway.
Be woke.
Moving along, Marjorie Taylor Greene, she said in a tweet recently, that the Senate no longer enforces a dress code for senators for peace settlement is disgraceful. Dress codes is one of society's standards and set etiquette and respect for institutions. Stop lowering the bar. She should be the one who talk about lowering the bar. You know, Representative Marjorie Taylor Greene from Georgia demanded etiquette and respect in Congress months after she launched a profane attack on fellow Congresswoman Lauren Boebert on the House floor, if you remember, And then after the censured Adam Schiff, Democrat from California, she had a nerve to call for decorum. Oh, mm-hmm. Is this woman crazy?
Yes. There's something cynical about her, or insane. I don't know which, but or both. Mm-hmm. She's and you know, and Fetterman. I know what she's talking about. Fetterman does not get dressed up, but either does Jim Jordan. He's always mm-hmm. well. He does wear a dress shirt. He never wears a coat and a tie. You know, never. Mm. So what? And she also should talk about, I mean, what did she do on the floor when she showed nude pictures of Hunter Biden? What was that about?
Mm-hmm.
Really? When you start talking about, you know, etiquette, being moral, what? I mean, come on.
Yeah, as I said, I preach one thing but do another thing. And I'm not even trying to hide it. I'm not even trying to hide this thing. They're just out there blatantly being hypocrites.
Well, but you know, the other thing about that too is, and I don't know, I didn't look enough into it. I read something, but I don't know if there's actually full evidence of it or if it's so far just an allegation. What was that? The Republican governor of South Dakota, Kristi Noem, allegedly had an affair with Trump's former aide, Corey Lewandowski. Does anybody have any more information on that? Do we know that?
Yes, I read about that as well.
I mean, like I said, that part doesn't quite bother me as much. I mean, I just think that it's, they voted for these people voted for Trump twice, and they don't care that he cheated on his wives with porn stars and stuff like that, and cheated on the first wife with the second wife and so on and so on, and has these dozens of allegations of sexual harassment and whatnot. So, I mean, this right here, mm-hmm. probably the Republican Party isn't even going to think twice about this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You
know, yeah.
You know, and the thing
these people.
Well, look what happened in Michigan, the party of the family values, Michigan State, all those poor girls by that Dr. Nesser.
Oh, yeah.
And who, mm-hmm. who was sitting on the board at the time? Former mm-hmm. Governor Engler. A Republican.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Gee, family values.
Yep. Absolutely.
Don't let my Republican friends forget it anymore. Any chance I get, I throw it back in their face.
Exactly. 515-605-9802 is the number to call. We'll have a new caller calling in. Hello, caller. What's mm-hmm. cooking tonight? What's on your mind?
Hello?
Hello?
Hi.
Yes. Hey.
Hi.
Yeah, Khalil, what's up?
I'm doing okay. One of the things I had, ideas I had is basically, I noticed back in the early 90s when Monica Lewinsky and Bill Clinton,
mm-hmm.
they mm-hmm. cheated on their marriage. People care more about that back in those days than they did about the actual harm that some of the other presidents did.
And now it seems to be vice versa.
Yeah, it is.
Mm-hmm.
And matter of fact, I even looked at what we don't do good, what a lot of the presidents don't do good. And
mm-hmm.
it's like something like that I would not want as a president, but at least if they're going to drag it out, be consistent about dragging it out. And also, if you're going to mm-hmm. drag something like that out that's in personal life, drag out their policies as well. You know, don't be
mm-hmm.
one way, and don't be just about people's personal lives and then not care about the actual things that are actually inhumane.
Mm-hmm. But I think, Khalil, back in those days when Bill Clinton was impeached for getting a blowjob, what was the Republican policies? They wanted to privatize Social Security. They wanted to get rid of Medicare and Medicaid. They wanted no immigrants coming in to start over, you know, and all these policies that Republicans had was just bad for America, you know.
Yeah,
and
they were.
Up to this day, they haven't changed. They've gotten worse, you know. It's like,
right.
you know, hate on steroids, basically. And Trumpism is a product of that, where, you know, instead of looking at the issues like bettering the economy that Joe Biden is doing, trying to lower inflation, that's what Joe Biden is trying to do. He has no control over world inflation, okay? You know, like the CHIPS program and other things that he signed into law and everything. Republicans are pushing against that, you know? But it's all well and good pushing back at things, but what is your solution if you get rid of all that? Nothing. They have nothing. So why are people in the media still pushing this agenda where Republicans are for nothing and Democrats show what they're about and what they want to implement and what they are implementing? But yet still the media is on Trump and Trump and Trump. It's like from 2016 they haven't learned. You know, Donald Trump is a destructive force. It's full of hate and rhetoric and vile. And we should just ignore him totally, you know? But it's like they haven't learned the lesson, you know? And the five big stations are owned by Republicans. You know, the mass media basically is owned by Republican families. Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the problem right there, you know? That's why we need the fairness doctrine back so we can have some semblance of order and decor because, you know, what we'll have now is chaos. And what sells better than chaos and scandals and what have you are made up crisis caused by the Republicans and Fox News and right-wing media. And the mainstream media is just jumping on that bandwagon because they make money off negativitism. You know, and it should stop. It should stop.
Yeah, you know? One of the things I've noticed is basically I started to have second thoughts about conspiracy theories, a lot of them, when after one shooting after another, people would make conspiracies out of it. I'm like, you cannot say that every single shooting is a conspiracy. And then not only that, but whenever an African-American would do it because of the police misconduct or a Muslim would do it, they would admit it's real. Or whenever the Fast and the Furious came up, they admitted it was real because it suited their agenda. But when it's something like just a random mass shooting, they want to say it's made up. They want to say these are actors and stuff. And I'm guessing if we had people like Alex Jones earlier that were real popular back in those days, the 90s, they would make a stupid Alex Jones would make a real bad, stupid conspiracy out of Columbine because he didn't want to do something. And,
well,
go ahead. And then not only that, but basically it's almost like whenever he doesn't want to address something, he says it's a conspiracy.
Mm-hmm.
Of course.
Well, you know what I have to say about that. Here's the point that I wanted to make when it comes to the mass shootings and the conservative take on it is that if you really, really want to crush a conservative in an argument in regards to mass shootings and who deserves to have their guns taken away and stuff like that, here's one of the things that a lot of people don't seem to talk about is that. So obviously we know that at least 99% of mass shootings in America are done primarily by white people, primarily conservatives. Now, again, this is not a race-based. Wait, hold on a second. This is not a race-based, so I need people to understand this one. Here's the thing. The last mass shooting that we had, or one of the last ones that we had, took place in Nashville, and that was done by a transgender. Now, this is what conservatives had to say about it. They said that transgender person needs to have their gun taken from them, which I can agree with. That's like one of the rare things I can agree with a conservative on. But then my question to those conservatives is, why do you want this trans person have their gun taken away, but all the other people in America who shot up the casinos and the Florida high school and the New York Post, all these places, I said, why do they get to keep their guns, but this one person has to have it taken away? When did we get to decide which mass shooters are the good ones who deserve their guns and they just need a mental treatment to institutionalize, and the other ones, they need to be in prison for life? My argument is if you shoot up a school or a bank or a grocery store, a movie theater, casino, whatever public place, the penalty should be you need to have your gun removed and you need to be in prison for life. And so if and here's the other crazy part about it, is that conservatives want to advocate to take that person's gun away, but that's funny because when people on the extreme left said the same thing about the right-wing white folks who did it, they said we couldn't do that because that was infringing upon constitutional rights. But then here they are advocating to go against the constitutional right when it's somebody who's not on their side. And so that is an argument that I would bring up to a conservative next time you debate somebody about gun control. That's where you can get the mad.
Right, but the problem is,
Eric, it is true that the majority of the mass shootings were done by white America. It's true. Truth is truth.
What was the point that the other person was going
to make? It hasn't got nothing to do with race baiting. Truth is truth.
What was the point the other person was going to make?
One of the things is if you have to make those, get them, like what you were saying, with their argument about the transgender thing, a lot of them will try to deflect attention, which they'll try to just take bits and pieces of what they want to hear. Because I talked to a guy, I said, if we can ban certain religions and certain races from firearms, we can ban criminals. And all he took was the banning thing. It even happens when you have a movie about officers without guns. There's just gun control talk, and it's not talk about the officers without guns. So how do you counter their argument when they do that? Because I've just, like, when people deflect attention, I just stop talking to them.
Well, you know what? Here's the thing. Here's what I say to that. It's usually – this is what generally a lot of right-wingers are guilty of. And to be fair, you might have some people on the left who might make an argument, and let's say there is a hint of hypocrisy in that. The point is this. The right-wingers and the conservatives and the Republican Party, they're supposed to be the ones of – they call themselves the party of law and order, the party of constitutionalism, the party of the rule of law, the party of due process. Well, by that very definition, that means that nobody is above the law, even though they're propping up a presidential candidate who thinks he's above it, and they're okay with that, but that's a different story. The whole thing about it is, if they claim to be that, then by definition and by logic, you have to tell them, hey, that means anybody, regardless of skin color, regardless of religion, regardless of political affiliation, regardless of sexuality, I would almost go so far to say regardless of age, you know, pretty much that. So no matter what you look like or what side of politics or religion you affiliate with, if you do something like that, my ultimate penalty is you have to it's at least prison for life. Now, you shoot up a place, and let's say nobody gets killed, but a bunch of people are injured, then, yeah, everybody, they will still have to go down for, you know, mass shooting, mass assault, attempted murder. Anybody has to face that consequence if they do that. The problem with the right-wingers is they want the transgender's gun taken away because that person shot up a school, but the other people who shot up schools, they don't feel the same way. And then you have these Republican senators and congresspeople in Texas like Louie Gohmert and Ted Cruz that have the audacity to go up on television and say, we're tired of liberals thinking that we're heartless. Well, you know what? If we propose policy and legislation that advocates for gun control and gun reform, and you guys don't want to sign on to it, even though you claim that you want to keep your kids and grandkids safe too, well then, yeah, you're making yourself look heartless. That's not us doing that. All you have to do is just vote on this bill, and even if it doesn't pass, you can at least say you voted for it. And so if you want to counter conservative on that argument, I would say that's how you would go about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yep, and you would win the argument.
And I would like to see a conservative who can top that argument. And if any conservative is listening to this channel right now or listening to this conversation, if they have something to say about it, I'm all ears.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. Let's go on for a moment now. We're going to go on to Bidenomics for just a few minutes because I think it's important to talk about tonight, being that, you know, President Joe Biden is working so hard to, you know, bring our economy back and bring down inflation and help us, you know, help with school debt, college debt, and, you know, with school lunches and just so many things. There are so many things on this man's plate I just don't know how he does it. It makes my head spin. But let's go on. President Joe Biden has reclaimed the term Bidenomics from skeptics on his economic policies, contrasted his vision with Meganomics and his first rivals in a Maryland speech Thursday. The country should know the facts, he said. They should know the choice between Bidenomics and Meganomics, Biden said, using Meganomics as a term for Republic economy policy for the first time. Look, their plan, Meganomics, is more extreme than anything America has ever seen before. Biden delivered his speech at Prince George's Community College in Largo, where he began by repeating his often delivered joke about how he didn't see a whole bunch of trickle down on his dad's kitchen table. Biden said the Republican economic policy has hollowed out the main streets of America, as well as blown up the deficit and produced anemic economic growth. In his speech, Biden pointed the attention of the audience to the copies of the 167-page Protecting America's Economic Security document the president had planned for his team to hand out at the event. The document is a budget for the 2023 fiscal year proposed and published by the Republican Study Committee Chairman Kevin Hern. I'm only the president who hands out the opposition. I'm the only president, he said, who hands out the opposition's economic plan. Oh, you think I'm kidding, Biden said. This is the MAGA budget. I want you to take a look at it. I think we have other copies of it. If we don't, we'll get you some. Biden said the Republicans had taken a plan that has never worked and decided to make it much, much worse to create what he dubbed Maganomics. Under their plan, the one-tenth of the 1% of the households that make over $4 million a year are going to get another tax cut worth more than two times what the typical American family makes in one single year. Biden said Republicans are trying to undo progress he has made in getting other nations, particularly those that are part of the Group of Seven and NATO, to agree to global minimum tax on corporations. That global minimum tax was finally agreed. It took me better part of a year to get it done. And guess what? They want to get rid of it. Let corporations go back to shifting jobs and profits overseas and avoiding paying taxes, Biden said, paying taxes at home, Biden said. And who's we know, because the MAGA Republicans in Congress have finally released the budget I just referenced. And the answer is seniors and hardworking Americans are going to pay for it. In his speech, he reiterated his point that his economic policy, focusing on building the economy from the bottom up and the middle out. He contrasted his stances with those outlined in Hern's document, such as plans to gut Social Security and Medicare by $700 billion and $1 trillion, respectively. Under Meganomics, as I've called it, tens of millions of Americans could lose their insurance. Waiting lists would skyrocket for seniors who need home or community-based care because they have nowhere else to go. They have no family to take care of them. Children would not get adequate health care, Biden said. MAGA Republicans don't think we should be investing in education, and that's not an exaggeration. Biden also hit out on his predecessor, former President You-Know-Who, several times through the speech, though only named him once. There are only two presidents in American history with fewer jobs the day they left office than when they started, Biden said. One was President Herbert Hoover, and the other was Donald Hoover Trump. Seriously, the only two presidents in American history. Go ahead, David. You have this article.
Yes. Yeah, so, you know, he claims, the former president claims that he's a great, great real estate builder, but he didn't build a damn thing. He was given to it by his father, $400 million. That's a big boost for anybody. So when this narrative about Donald Trump starting from scratch, that's total horseshit. That's garbage. And people like him, who make over $4 million a year, getting tax cuts, while us small folks, middle class, the dwindling middle class, have to pay more in taxes and everything. The reason why they want to take out the education department is because they want the populace to be good workers who obey, you know, and, you know, just be like aimless robots, just doing the bidding for corporations and everything. And that's not what built America. The America was built by the middle class, especially after World War II, you know, when women came in the market, the job market, you know, when, you know, black people and minorities were allowed to work in certain different businesses, business sectors. You know, so this narrative that Republicans pushing is going back before the 1930s, where Hoover failed. They didn't have a name for it, trickle-down economics, but because of Hoover's policies, there was a Great Depression. Every Republican president except for Eisenhower suffered the same fate because they believe in trickle-down economics. And for the life of me, people can't understand that trickle-down economics hasn't worked and will never work. You know, so wake up, America. Stay woke, because the Republicans are not fiscally conservative. They are not responsible with money. They want to get rid of the Department of Energy. They want to get rid of the Department of Education. You know, and I mean, I can't fathom why people can't sit through their silliness. You know, that Rick Scott, the senator from Florida, before the 2020 election or the 2022 midterm elections, you know, he wrote a policy on gutting Social Security and Medicare and Medicaid. Now, why would you vote for people who want to get rid of, you know, things that help you as a working class person or a middle class person? It just don't add up. Are we that backward and stupid? Or can I see through the Republican stupidity? I mean, it's so frustrating. You know, and
you know,
the media should call them out on it, and the media just refuse to do it. Why? Because they're corporate owned by five richest families in America. And that's why we need the fairness doctrine again.
Yes,
you know?
Yes. Absolutely right. You know, the other thing is, you know, David, you know, we have to remember that, you know, the workers in this country, like you said, they built America. They built. The immigrants came here, and they worked hard. They built the country. They built it brick by brick, block by block, and not with a lot of money, but they were able to buy homes and cars and raise their families. Two people did not have to work in those days. I know my mom didn't have to work. You know, she was a stay-at-home mom. There was four. I had three sisters. But now that's not a possibility. It is just not a possibility because the wages are not going up like they're supposed to go up on a yearly basis. Because once again, let's just say it how it is. These corporations are greedy, and they don't want to give their workers what they deserve. You know, every time Starbucks wants to, you know, have a union, you know, get a union, they have coronary attacks. You know, they threaten to, you know, to fire them and everything else, you know, because they want a union. Well, they only want a living wage. Then go find someone else that'll work for less money and doesn't care. You know, who's keeping that Starbucks open? Robots? I don't think so.
And speaking of robots, the technology has far advanced where, you know, people at Burger King and McDonald's ask for a raise, $15 per hour. And you know what some people do in some states, especially in Arkansas and Nebraska, the automated system where when you come in as a customer, you just punch in your order and the people behind the counter just make the food for you. You know, instead of cutting jobs by using technology, because I don't want to give people $15 an hour in minimum wage. Now, I used to work in the fast food industry for KFC many years ago, 6 years. And the level of things that you went through as a worker in the fast food industry, it's hard work. I don't care what anybody say. It's not just flipping burgers. It's not about just cooking chicken or whatever. It's really hard work in that hot kitchen where people come in for lunch and dinner and breakfast, whatever, and have this, like, you know, they may have had a bad day, and they take it out on you as the worker. And, you know, to get, you know, just minimum wage or barely over minimum wage, that can't help with anything, what you just mentioned, where you can't, you know, pay for a car, you can't pay for fixing the car that you have, you can't barely pay rent, much less food, you know, so... You know, I mean, it's ridiculous where these Republicans and these corporations are so rapacious that they just care about the shareholders and the CEOs and the big wigs who are an executive committee that run these corporations, not giving consideration to the workers. You know, and inflation is going on worldwide now. Other countries trying to, like, you know, help their workers in terms of giving them, you know, more pay and everything by raising their minimum wage. Why is it America is always the last one to jump on board to doing things right? You know, it can't be alone just about, you know, money, and to help everybody else. You know, one of these days, it's going to get so bad that the bow will break and people go out there like they're doing in France now. You know, imagine a couple months back where France wanted to raise the retirement age from 60 to 65, and people, they're in droves. Why can't something like that in America happen? You know, we're just sick enough of corporations being rapacious and just downright sheer evil. You know, we should have that. And I think the UAW strike is a starting point where we're saying enough is enough. We're not really taking the garbage anymore from these corporations and these greedy right-wingers who, you know, they get donations from these big corporations. And these bills that are written and voted on, it's not the politicians themselves who write, but special interests from big business, like big tobacco, NRA, you know, just being the corporation. You know, they write the laws, the bills, and then the politicians, because they get money and kickbacks and expensive gifts from these corporations, they just vote yes without even, you know, reading the damn thing. You know, it just continues to scream over the workers, and the people are sick and fed up and tired of that. And I think it's going to be a backlash against these corporations. You know, so America is, you know, getting woke again, and they're pushing back, and they're not responding to this foolishness.
The other thing you mentioned, David, was, you know, they're constantly talking about, you know, cutting Social Security and cutting Medicare and cutting Medicaid. When you talk about cutting Medicare, that is health insurance. And you pay into the Medicare plan, you pay into it, and a certain amount of money comes out of your Medicare to pay for the insurance. So you have seniors will have no insurance unless you have unless you have a second insurance, which a lot of people do, but that insurance will not pay everything as well. Now, you have to think about this also. Social Security, a lot of people, that is their prime source of income once they've retired. You know, they may have a small pension, but their prime source of income is Social Security. You take that away from them, they will lose their cars, they'll lose their homes, because they won't be able to maybe pay their taxes on their homes or, you know, or fix their cars or whatever, or just to live, to eat, to be able to live. So you want to take away, and these are Republicans and Democrats and also third party people that, you know, are not Democrats or they're not Republicans. You know, they go back and forth, however you want to call it. But what I'm saying is that when you take away Social Security and Medicare, you're hurting 100% of a group of people. You're not hurting just a few. So how does that make any sense? if you're a policymaker as a Republican. How does it make sense?
Mm-hmm.
How do you get voted in?
And,
back in?
And again, Social Security is not an entitlement. People pay in. Ever since I start working at 14, 15 years old and about to retire, I need some cushion to fall back on and everything. So trying to privatize Social Security are getting rid of it totally, like Rick Scott and Republicans in the Senate trying, and Republicans in the House who fail to do it over and over again, even though they have a majority. It's going to backfire in 2024 because of people not retaking. People are waking up. And people saying, you know what? These Republicans and some of these Democrats, like Kyrsten Sinema, who's now an independent, and that guy, Joe Manchin, you know, they're just looking out for themselves and their families and their friends. You know, what about me, the small guy? You know, so I am expecting a Democratic sweep from federal level to state level to local level because people are beyond angry at the stupidity that's happening in D.C. now caused by Republicans. You know, the fascism that's going on, the economic fascism that's going on, and the hate and the rhetoric going on by Donald Trump and the crazy people who are running against him in the Republican primaries. The only one who making sense is Chris Christie. And that's scary. Me talking something good about Chris Christie, that's scared the crap out of me because Chris Christie is one of the most incompetent people there was as a governor of New Jersey and as a prosecutor coming up in New Jersey. So I don't care what nobody said. None of these Republican candidates from Trump right now care about the American worker, our American families, our family values, especially Lauren Boebert, who we'll get to in a second. You know, we all heard about Lauren Boebert and what happened in the cinema or the stage play of Beetlejuice, the musical that was happening. But we'll just really go on to that soon. But we want to welcome the next caller. Remember, say first name, where you're calling from, and turn off all background noises. The number is 515-605-9802. And this is Kitchen Politics 123 Radio Show. Hello, welcome, caller. What's cooking tonight?
Oh, I'm pissed like the rest of you. It's Sue in Michigan. I also want to say, because the corporations are not paying what they should in taxes, it hurts our health care, our education, and everything. In Europe and most every other country in the world, everybody gets free daycare. The kids are taken care of from the time they are born to the time they get out of college for free. And they have their medical paid for. They get the same medicines we get at a fraction of the cost. Insulin is $40 in Europe, in Canada, in Mexico, but it's over $350 here. Why? Because they can get away with it. And it's enough that the government won't make them control the medical prices and make the big corporations like Amazon that pays nothing pay and support the rest of us. You know, after all, we're busting our butt to support them. They need to pay their fair share. And nobody ever talks about that. You know, now they're pulling, they gave subsidies for daycare. And I just saw on the news they're going to be closing 20,000 daycares. These moms have nobody to take care of their kids. Are they're going to have to quit their jobs? I mean, what the hell?
Yep. I do have a little information about that, and then we'll go on to the next topic. Is that okay, David?
Yeah, go ahead.
I just wanted to say that child poverty, this is according to NPR, has more than doubled a year after hitting record low, the census data shows. In 2021, Congress increased the amount of credit as a part of the American Rescue Plan and expanded eligibility to include millions more of low-income families. Now, Joe Manchin, the problem that we have now is that Joe Manchin claims that the child tax credit will be used on drugs, okay, instead of food and paying bills or your payment. He says the child tax credit will be used on drugs. That's what Joe Manchin said. And
she's an idiot.
That made me sick. So what happened was Joe Manchin is putting Biden's child tax credit on the chopping block, digging in on who should qualify. So that's why the headlines that I read in the beginning about this, the Affordable Rescue Plan, he voted against it. So not only did all the Republicans vote against extending the child care tax credits that would, you know, for food and everything else that Susie just mentioned as well, they won't extend it. All the Republicans said no, and Joe Manchin won't extend it either. He voted no. And guess whose fault it is? It's Biden's fault.
No. Manchin is not a Democrat by any stretch of the imagination. Neither is that other brat from Arizona. Yeah. What's her name? She's not a Democrat. I don't know why what they stuck him in just for the hell of it to throw the tables around, but they're not Democrats.
Well, no.
And
example,
they don't
Kristen
care
Sinema.
About the people. They're doing nothing for mm-hmm. the people.
No.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kristen Sinema, first she was a socialist, then became a Green Party person, and out of convenience became a progressive Democrat. That's what she claimed. She got elected. Mm-hmm. And within months, not even months, weeks of being elected, Big Pharma, big corporations like insurance companies, you know, start donating, putting money in our coffers and everything. And she just changed mm-hmm. overnight. So she basically lied mm-hmm. to the people of Arizona who voted for her. And she wants her way all the time and always caucus with Joe Manchin and Republicans. And she have the tackiest taste in damn clothes. You know, so this woman here is not a Democrat. She was never a Democrat. She was even
a
socialist
plan.
One day.
It was a plan
you know?
By big corporations to screw up everything. Because it was tight in numbers between the Republicans and Democrats. So they planted those two idiots in the Democratic section and bought them off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's all that was.
Exactly. I know Kristen Sinema, no, she can't full well run as a Democrat because Ruben Gallego, the congressman from Arizona, is raising record numbers in terms of donations from grassroots level write-ups. He's not taking donations from corporations. He's doing well. Mm-hmm. So if she ran against him in a Democratic primary, she'd be blown out of the water. So now she's running as an independent, and, mm-hmm. you know, she's still struggling. She don't have any supporters because neither Democrat nor Republican trust her. It's like a handful of independents trust her. For whatever reason, only God knows. But, you know, if it's a three-way race between Gallego, her, and Carrie Lake, you know, who, mm-hmm. you know, may run for the U.S. Senate in Arizona, you know, I fear is that Gallego and Kristen Sinema will split the vote to make that idiot Carrie Lake for the next U.S. Senator from Arizona. Okay. And again, I have hope and faith in the people that they're woke enough to sit in between the lines that Kristen Sinema is for corporations, not for the people, and Carrie Lake is just a MAGA retarded individual who will do Trump's bidding and corporate bidding. So between Carrie Lake and Kristen Sinema, they're no different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so the best person is Ruben Gallego. Go ahead.
And another big thing I'm pissed at is the Supreme Court. They were stuffed in there. So it's all far right. They screwed up everything, you know, took away our right for abortions, and they're taking away our right to vote. And they allow corporations to give as much money as they wanted. Back when, it was $2,400 a year per candidate. That was all corporations could give. And now they give millions and millions to buy them off. So they're all on the take. That's wrong, too.
Mm-hmm.
How do we get that rule reversed when they're watching the pockets?
Yep. Absolutely. And I just want to say one last thing about the child tax credit. Joe Manchin, like I said that the child tax credit, if extended, will be used on drugs. That's what he said.
Holy shit.
But the U.S. Census Bureau data collected earlier this year found that people who received the child tax credit payments overwhelmingly spent most of their money on pressing necessities like food, rent, utilities, clothing, and vehicle payments, and rightfully so. So shame on the Republicans and shame on Joe Manchin. I hope that he gets knocked out wherever he is. Knock him out. Okay.
I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So we all know, the next story, we all know that Lauren Boebert is capable of reaching across the aisle because she did so with her date, where she tried to grope his penis and give him a nice rub down while he was fondling her breasts, allegedly. And so Boebert, Mr. Man, is revealed to be a Democrat. He's a bar owner. His name is Quinn Gallagher. He's 46 years old, a divorced father who has been secretly dating the controversial Republican who's 36 for months now. So who knows if, you know, this shenanigans behind the scenes caused her divorce, one of the reasons. This guy, Quinn Gallagher, also has a gay bar that, you know, caters to drag queens, and it's a gay-friendly bar in Aspen, Colorado, and he hosts at least one drag show per month, you know. So, you know, Lauren Boebert is a hypocrite, as usual. There's no surprise there, because they're all hypocrites in the Republican Party, the family values and what have you, but yet still, when they go out in public, you know, they act a different way. They grope each other, they fondle each other, you know, they vape, when there's no vaping allowed in the theater and everything. People just trying to go there and enjoy themselves. Kids were around. You know, 10 years old and older, and it was Beetlejuice that was showing. So TMZ, thank you, TMZ, for this clip. I'm going to play now, explaining the situation where Lauren Boebert was kicked out of that theater that was showing Beetlejuice, the musical, because she was, you know, totally inappropriate and vaping and speaking loud and recording what was happening. Standing up and dancing, you know, and singing. This is
she was high as a kite.
Congresswoman Lauren Boebert got kicked out of a performance of Beetlejuice. Maybe my favorite story of the day. She went to the Denver Buell Theater to take in Beetlejuice the Musical. A lot of people love this show. It's a packed theater. You see this surveillance footage of her sitting there with a male friend next to her. And the usher comes up and sort of talks with them. It's a little bit animated. And then she's escorted out of the theater. What happened was they think she was vaping and singing and recording the performance. Now, Lauren says, I definitely wasn't vaping, but I was boisterously loud and laughing and enjoying this performance.
Well, was she recording, though? That was part of the allegation.
She admits that she was snapping photos of the performance. So that,
which you're not allowed to.
I know, but a lot of people would.
That's like against the rules of polite society. You don't record at a play.
I hate to say it, but I think I might be on Lauren's side on this one.
What?
You're at a musical hearing songs you recognize and maybe she loves, and you're going to go,
We're arguing about the wrong thing.
What?
Lauren Boebert was wearing an incredible dress.
She looks right.
Lauren Boebert is a smoker.
Oh, you guys are nasty. She's not hot.
She's a congressional nine.
Yeah, so that TMZ would report on Lauren Boebert misbehaving and being naughty in public, this family violence with her boobs sticking out in a tight dress and what have you. You know, she reminds me of Sarah Palin, but with no class. And Sarah Palin is bad. So when you're worse than Sarah Palin, you know something is definitely wrong. And I hope the people in Colorado Congressional District 3 vote her ass out, because last time, in a red district, a gerrymandered district, she struggled and won by just over 500 votes. So this time around, the guy who ran against her again is a former Marine, and he almost beat her the last time. And I think the people in Congressional District 3 in Colorado will speak in volumes and droves when they go to the polls and vote her out. You know, so what we saw here in the TMZ video, well, you can't see it, but I saw it, it looked like a preview for her On the Fence page, where she got kicked out of Congress because people voted her out. You know, she was wearing this really tight dress. Her boobs, more than half her boobs were sticking out. And she was just like, you know, use a friend. Do you know who I am? Like, that's supposed to scare the body. These family violence Republicans are the sickest joke in American political history. Look at Kristen Noem. She is the governor of North Dakota or South Dakota, one of them. One of the And allegedly, as Eric said earlier, that, you know, she it's rumored that she had a relationship with Corey Lewandowski, who is one of the chief aides to Donald Trump when he was president. And Kristen Noem is one of those big, you know, conservative family violence persons, people. You know, so, again, this is a one thing and do another thing. Is is a regular thing for them. You know, but they are monitoring other people's behavior and trying to legislate good behavior, which is impossible because to each their own. If you're gay, fine. Do you have a good life? You know, don't be judgmental of anybody. But these people are trying to, like, put the Bible and make laws based off the Bible, which is absolute garbage because the founding of this republic was freedom of religion, freedom of expression, freedom of speech. Once you don't agree with them, then they want to legislate back, saying, oh, you have to agree with us because we make the laws, we're the majority, blah, blah, blah. That there's no room for dissent with these people. They're extremists. They're dangerous. They're just angry, bitter people who hate people who are don't look like them, who don't have their religion. It's just sickening and disgraceful that the party of Ike and the party of Lincoln has turned to this extreme, disgusting display of what they are now. And what they are fascists. Let's call a spade a spade. Republican Party today are fascists. If Richard Nixon and even Ronald Reagan try to run to the Republican nominee, they'll be laughed out of the auditorium because these people have gone so extreme to the right that even Hitler and Genghis Khan would blush the way these people are turning extremists. It's sad. And America don't need that. America need compromise to move things forward. America need, you know, good policies that you can debate about and come to a compromise because, you know, that's what politics is about, compromise. Not because, oh, I want 90% of what I want and to hell with you, Democrats. It don't work that way. And in 2024, I am predicting from now, I know a week is a lifetime in politics, but people are so sick and angry when they start paying attention and they get woke, they're going to vote out these Republicans from the federal level right down to the local level like we've never seen before. You think LBJ's victory in 1964 is nothing, or Reagan in 1980? This Joe Biden, Kamala Harris administration will get this second term in a big sweep, a blowout, a blue wave that you've never seen before and probably would never see again in a long time. Because people are sick and tired of these Republicans and their hypocrisy. Enough is enough. People have enough.
You know, I just want to read her statement because I find it funny. She said, and I'm quoting her, "The past few days have been difficult and humbling, and I'm truly sorry for the unwanted attention for my Sunday evening in Denver that I brought to the community," Bobart said. "While none of my actions or words as a private citizen that night were intended to be malicious or meant to cause harm, the reality is that they did, and I did regret it." She went on to say she blamed her public and difficult divorce for her actions, adding that she simply fell short of her values.
Oh my God.
Puke. She's gonna grope in public, but she fell short.
Yeah.
You know what I say to that? Hold on. First of all, let's remember this. If I was talking to Lauren in person, I'd be like, "Lauren, your husband unzipped his pants and flashed his stuff in front of kids, and you stayed with him. So, first of all, any talk that you have of family values or having conservative ethics or whatever. I mean, it's mm-hmm. it's the equivalent of me attempting to talk to the wall. I mean, there's like I said, there's absolutely nothing that she says that I ever take seriously.
Nope, you're right, Eric.
And that's why it's an absolute shame that the Democrats are not the best when it comes to messaging. And like I said, we're good on policy for the most. Here's the thing: we're good on policy for the most part, but there's no reason why we should be tied with these people. Okay, right now Adam Frisch is running again. And for those of you who forgot, I mean, he was the Democrat that ran against Lauren last time, mm-hmm. and she only won by between 500 and 600 votes. So that was lucky mm-hmm. for her. But you know, now he's running again, and now she's becoming more and more disliked. And they both are 45% in the polls, which is a little too low for him and definitely way too high for her. So, Democrats got to get it together. And that's why I say we got to get in front of as many cameras as possible. We have to contact as many Democratic sources, reach out to more Democratic groups, put the message out there, and focus a little bit more on Democratic policies and Democratic accomplishments. And the Republicans, like I said, they'll kill themselves at the end of the day because they have nothing.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sitting
yes,
here
and according to Ann Coulter, Ann Coulter, the conservative columnist, she posted on Twitter that she, Lauren Boebert, is an embarrassing bimbo. And me agreeing with Ann Coulter, I'm sick to the stomach, but, you know, I concur. She's right. Yeah, mm-hmm. Go ahead, Elaine, you're saying something.
Oh, Eric is talking about getting the message out. And I've been sitting here thinking about the trickle-down economics. If trickle-down mm-hmm. economics supposedly is working, then why are the people on strike?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Real easy question there. Why are they on strike? Why did UPS have to go on strike if trickle-down economics works? You know, they claim that trickle-down mm-hmm. economics works and it trickles down to the workers. Well, we've had two it's two strikes right there. Why is the coffee people trying to form a union if trickle-down economics works? I think we ought to start hammering on that question.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody should take a segment and start hammering. That's the term
mm-hmm.
I use.
Mm-hmm.
Starbucks. A few of them have been able to unionize, but like, you know, not all of them. You know, I don't know how many Starbucks there are across the country. I've never really looked it up, but, you know, a few of them have organized and, you know, formed unions. And it's only for the betterment, you know, of their work environment, for their safety, for, you know, for how many hours they work, for job security, for everything. It's only for the betterment of the employee. And if the employee is mm-hmm. happy, they'll do a better job at work. That's
mm-hmm.
how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Give to me, and
yes.
I will get back to you.
Yes, reciprocate. That's all the workers are asking for. 36%
yes.
in wage increase is nothing. They deserve more than that because it's their sacrifice
mm-hmm.
that saved the auto industry in America. And when the auto industry got bailed out with taxpayer money, they weren't complaining then, but now they have $29 million a year in salary. We're screwing over the workers. That's unacceptable, and that will not fly. So now the next segment is a three-minute video on MAGA people who support Trump. They're trying to define woke. This is a clip from TYT, the Young Turks. Here it is.
Mm-hmm.
How would you define wokeism?
Let me start here.
Okay. I'm not good at defining woke. Let him do that, but yeah.
Woke is accepting everything that is evil. So, for instance, monster cans. Each line represents a six. So you got 666. And then if you look on the monster can itself, in the O of the monster, it has a cross. And it's got it represents the Antichrist. So when you drink it, you've got the cross coming down, and that's
wokeism, sort of in a nutshell.
Yes, yeah, in a nutshell, it's accepting everything that's evil as good.
This is the people we're dealing with. There's no what's the word I'm looking for? There's no.
I don't even know what he was talking Yeah, I truly
he's making
don't
shit up.
Poop.
He is making shit up. He's dragging thing all over his ass. Not having, it's just a conspiracy theory about Monster Energy Drink. What does Monster Energy Drink have anything to do with being woke? Woke is not being evil. It's being compassionate.
Do you have another example of when you run into wokeism?
What they're doing with the school.
Like?
And the children and trying to indoctrinate them. I have a granddaughter who's 6 years old. And
you have a granddaughter?
Yeah.
Wow. You look great for having her.
Thank you.
Tell me then, so what kind of indoctrination? I'm asking you just for specifics.
I like to graduate high school in Stevens Point. I mean, I have it on my phone. It's talking about gender issues and issues that shouldn't even be discussed in school. And pushing young children, if it were up to my granddaughter, she would be a dog. And they would be letting her crawl around on the floor and identify as a dog. Until 2 weeks from now, then she'd be a cat. And they're letting children transition or telling them to keep it from their parents and pushing them to get gender reaffirming care and keep it a secret from their parents. That's not school.
And again, they're making shit up. They're putting things out of the ass that make no sense. And then disproven because you need counseling for that. You have to be 18 years or older before you do any sort of gender transformation surgery. If you're under 18, you have to get parental consent to the gender transition surgery. Nobody is doing gender transfer surgery. You know, it's not happening.
That woman is out of her mind. I remember it being in kindergarten, and we would all be cats, and we would meow, or we would be dogs. That's
mm-hmm.
called imagination. What sound does a cat make?
Kids being kids.
All of us would go meow, and we would paw. That
mm-hmm.
didn't make us a cat.
Mm-hmm.
What the hell is the matter with people?
Yeah, just be
and I'm a lot older
a kid.
Than that woman in this interview, and we did that, and I'm not a cat.
Right. Okay. So unroll.
That's happening at school.
You know what?
All over the United States, and we are fighting school boards left and right.
Oh my God.
Wokeism. That's horrible. I mean, it's borderline mental issues. I guess I would say. I mean, if you don't know what you are, and you can't see what's going on right now in front of our eyes, it's something's definitely wrong with those individuals.
What is it about wokeness that upsets a lot of people to be on the
internet? Well, like you just mentioned, it's the ever-changing thing of it. I mean, you're constantly walking on eggshells, and you have no idea if what I say today is going to be acceptable in 4 years. I don't think it's okay to be ridiculing and getting upset at people for something they said 8-10 years ago. And that's kind of the whole idea of cancel culture and the wokeness that it's been right now, is we're getting people in trouble for things that happened before these things were even wrong to do. So I don't know. I don't agree with that.
How would you define it?
Oh, man. to me, woke is going out of your way to please everybody around you and to accept any ideology that they feel is comfortable for them. And so I don't think that that's how we're supposed to live our lives. I think you should let people do what they want to do, but I shouldn't be forced to have to accept those things. We should all be able to just live how we want to.
Yes, Eric, you're saying something.
Yeah, and so here's the thing about that. There's a couple points I want to make here. Number one, when it comes to the whole argument about, you know, to bounce off of what Elaine was saying about the kids, you know, kids have imagination, you know, pretend to be cats, dogs, animals, whatever. You know, that kind of reminds me of the governor's race that took place in Oregon last year. And
mm-hmm.
I'm pretty sure it was Oregon or Idaho. I want to say Oregon. And part of the reason that – so you had two women running against each other, Democrat and Republican. And part of the reason that the Republican ended up losing – was because she was pushing the narrative that kids in schools, you know, they basically were pretending to be cats and dogs, and so they put litter boxes in the bathroom
mm-hmm.
to satisfy
mm-hmm.
claim about being cats and dogs. And so here's
mm-hmm.
another way. If you want to own the conservatives on this argument, then just say this. First of all, if you really think something like that is true, don't you think the health department would have gotten involved? And
yeah.
Obviously it didn't.
Thank
that.
You.
So clearly there was no evidence of that. And on top of that, well, if there really were litter boxes in the bathrooms, well, we live in the day and age of social media and smartphones and technology. Don't you think somebody would have taken at least one picture and posted it on the internet? Nobody saw that.
Exactly.
Which means obviously it was complete BS. Now, the other point that I want to make is this, on the issue of woke and wokeism. And as we had stated earlier, the definition of woke means that you're actively attentive and aware in regards to things that are, you know, to deal with racial and social justice. Now, you're alert to racial and social injustice. That's what that means. And so you're right. Conservatives are basically saying they take that and use that like it's a bad word. And they're saying, well, if you're woke, you must be bad. Well, the thing about that is this, is, you know, if I am saying that I'm alert to the idea that this person was victimized because of their gender or skin color, well, if that's a fact, then me calling that out doesn't necessarily mean that it's bad. What's bad is the fact that it happened. Somebody could have got fired from their job because they were trans or black or whatever, or somebody was a victim of police brutality, for example, and obviously we know that's more common amongst black folks than anybody else. And so I don't know how they decided to weaponize that or what made them do that, but again, this is where the problem with the Democrats is we're struggling to overcome that narrative, which is run on the other side. And so when the next time a Democrat and Republican get up on the debate stage, whether it's for president, whether it's for governor, Senate, Congress, or any local level from top to large, here's the thing. It's to let them know, hey, I'm aware of what's going on around here, and these people are being victimized because of their skin color. And if you think I'm bad for recognizing that, well, that just tells me everything I need to know about you.
Exactly. Exactly. I have a perfect example of sexism that the woke culture, you know, the right-wingers or conservatives really screw this person over. Imagine this person, a female, not I call her names or what state it was, but she was, you know, voted as one of the best plastic surgeons in the Western Hemisphere, you know, in the whole entire Western Hemisphere. That's how good this person is. And you know what a female doctor said, who are all men who made up this board? That, oh, you can't be a surgeon because you're too young and you're female and the tradition is da-da-da-da-da-da. You know, they said all this. Why? Because of a vagina. And she was voted and respected as one of the best plastic surgeons in the Western Hemisphere. You know? So things like that, you know, it really angers me that when you have such talent, and because they're female, you just, like, shit on them. They don't mean anything. You know, oh, yeah, I have a dick. I'm a man, you know. What I say go, you know, and a woman should know her place. That sort of vibe and that sort of crap, not with flying 21st century America, because we're better than this, okay? We're better than this.
We are
I'm with you on that.
Those of us that are, and those of us that have hearts and souls and can think and, you know, care about our fellow man and, you know, care about workers and care about sick people and, you know, and the list goes on. You know, those of us, yes, I mean, we are the woke ones, absolutely. And I'm proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that I see and I know what's going on in the world. I don't like living under a rock. I won't. You know, I don't know if I can do anything about anything, but we do try weekly here, twice a week to be exact. And hopefully, you know, we change the mind or educate someone, just one person. You know, that's something. That is something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, America. So please go out there, register, get your friend, your neighbors, your family, church people to come register, because 2024 is one of the biggest elections in the history of America. Just picture Donald Trump and the Republicans get the majority in both chambers in Congress.
Yeah.
Imagine the state legislatures across the country in the 50 states that have a Republican majority. then the democracy is doomed, because Republicans have proven on January 6th that they don't care about democracy, they don't care about the Constitution, they don't care about the Republic, they don't care about nothing. What they care about is power and making money for corporations, and a corporatocracy, you know, like an oligarchy system where the 1% run everything and dictate what politicians do in Congress that make laws. You know, the Supreme Court is bastardized because, you know, Trump got 3 picks and they lied during their testimony about them not touching Roe versus Wade and other things. We have an alleged rapist as one of the Supreme Court justices, Brett Kavanaugh, but yet still, you know, conservative values. You know, again, these people are not conservatives that have no values. We're starting Lauren Boebert. We're starting Marjorie Taylor Greene. We can list the names. Donald Trump being the main one. He's their front runner. He is their standard bearer, their warrior in chief, and they are not good people in the Republican Party. I'm not saying all Republicans are bad, but the people who run the Republican Party now, Ike and Reagan and Lincoln would like turn in the graves to see what the Republican Party has turned into. They've turned into a fascist organization. Now, even Hitler and Mussolini would be shocked at how far right they've gone. You know, and America deserves better than that. We can do better than this. And the civil war that's going on in the Republican Party now, with fiscal conservatives versus family value conservatives versus different types, different branches of the party, it's going to come tumbling down after 2024, because Democrats, I predict, will win in a sweeping landslide. Remember this night what I said, that Democrats will beat Republicans in the biggest blue wave in the history of electoral politics. You know, so whatever you have, go to the Democratic Party website, democrats.org, donate even $5 or $20 or whatever amount you can afford, because this election means a lot and we have to win it. If we don't win it, it's the end of the Republic.
Definitely. It's the end of our democracy.
Oh, but you know what? Let me add something in there right quick. Let me just make sure that I correct everybody on this. And not to say that what you're saying is wrong, but again, we have to put the words and match the action. Because as we've stated on this show all the time, and we've been saying it since 2016, we've been saying it in 2018, 2020, 22, and now upcoming 24, is that we can sit here and say, yes, where the Democrats are going to beat the Republicans in a landslide, and we're going to crush them on every level, from the presidency to the Senate to the Congress to the state houses, down to the city council, school board, whatever, to governor, Congress. And here's the thing. When we put out that too much, we can't make people too comfortable in the sense that they get complacent and they don't vote. And as I've stated all the time, that's what happened with Hillary versus Trump. And we got lucky with Biden versus Trump, because some people almost didn't vote. And, of course, a number of people still didn't. But like I said, we have to make sure that these people are – we have to hold the politicians and the voters accountable. We got to push the politicians to continue to do what is right and what needs to be done. And then we have to make sure that the voters are energized. They get off the couch for 5 minutes, go to their poll, vote for our people. That's how we win.
Yes.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah.
And go out there and tell what the good things that Democrats have been doing for the past three years, where Joe Biden has signed into law the different acts that, you know, that try to boost the economy, and it's doing well. He's done in 3 years what Trump couldn't do in 4 years, and it'd be a disaster. So not only America, but the world, if Donald Trump becomes president again, he can start arresting his opponents, throwing them in jail and prison. You know, it's going to turn a dictatorship. And we all know how stupid and ignorant Donald Trump is, where, you know, he takes advice from people even more incompetent than him, and that's scary.
Yeah, you're right, David. He already said that he would have no problem arresting everyone. You know, the attorney general on down, he has no problem doing that if he becomes president. You know, Yes. Do I think he's going to be president? Probably not. But I'm just sick and tired of 2015 when he started his election, you know, his campaign up until now.
Mm-hmm.
It's exhausting on a daily basis. We need from him. He needs to go away and never come back, never to be seen or heard of again. Him and his grifter family.
Exactly. Okay, that has to be the last word because we have minutes left and everything. So I want to play this 4-minute video and the answers from supporters on why drag is more dangerous than having guns. You know, we'll come back and close out. And so thank everybody for calling in and making a contribution tonight. You can find us at www.kitchenpolitics123.com, our website. And we're also on Facebook. We have a Facebook group and community page. So after this, we'll come back and wrap up.
Think it's more dangerous in your country, drag or guns?
Drag, for sure.
How come?
It's poisoning the youth. Yeah, that's what's going to run our country. It's scary. But guns is my right. I know how to handle them. I take training. I've raised my kids. Guns are our primary. It's our right, our Second Amendment right that I refuse to give up and many of our people refuse to give up.
Not even just talking about, I'm just talking about the danger. You talked about how it's poisoning our kids.
From law-abiding citizens, and the thugs and the criminals are still going to have their guns. I want to be able to protect from a thug or a criminal. I want to protect, you know, if I'm in a school visiting my grandkids and there's a shooting, I want to be able to pull out and stop.
But you just said it. If there's a school shooting, as far as I can tell, people haven't died from drag, and that's why I asked the question.
You know, look at the transvestite that went in and did the school shooting. Come on, it's a mental health. It's mental health is what it is. The mental health, and you know, the books that are in our schools. So many things have got to change in our country, and Trump is making the change, and. He's my president, and Biden, he don't even acknowledge in my brain as president.
What's a bigger problem for America, do you think? Drag or not?
Drag.
And why is that?
I would not want my kids to be anywhere around drag.
Well, what about guns and people, you know, buying them and assault weapons and all the death it causes versus drag, which, let's face it, not a lot of people die from drag.
Well, then I think that's how people get mentally ill with all the drag stuff that's going on. Weapons are not going to walk out of the house and kill people. People do it.
So following that logic, drag would make people sort of sick in the head and lead them to get a gun and do something.
I believe so, yes.
I believe that people should express themselves how they want, but in the privacy of their own homes. I don't believe that they should push it on to people. And for the question about guns, I believe that we should kind of stick to the Second Amendment.
I feel like putting the wrong thing on kids, especially how they're doing it nowadays, how they put it out as, you know, it's an option. They really say, like, this is how you're supposed to be met, rather than whether it's like, well, you can fall into this category and be this kind of person. It's kind of crazy now how they have it pushing it on them rather than, you know, just putting it out there as like, you know, you can act this way if you want to.
Do you see drag, not gender issues, not pronouns, not that, drag as more dangerous than guns in the country?
I don't think it's dangerous, but it's
I would say when you, because I know there, I think this happened a while ago back in Texas where they actually had drag queen shows, but kids were able to go to them. And
right.
When you start bringing kids into the thing where they don't know reality and they don't know fiction, where they believe in Santa and Santa's not real, but.
Wait a second, what?
But like, this is probably going more into the gender issue, but I feel like drag, it's fine, you can do that on your own, but when you start bringing kids into this thing where it's kind of a little bit more provocative and now they're like kind of dressing, you know, and these types of ways, it's not really okay for children to be around.
Yeah, so, you know, have they seen Mrs. Doubtfire? Have they seen Tootsie with Dustin Hoffman, Bosom Buddies on television? You know, drag been around for a long time, and, you know, it don't influence somebody from being transsexual or turning them gay. You know, so, I mean, this whole, you know, transphobia and homophobic thing is ridiculous by these right wingers.
David, you've seen Clowns, right?
Yeah.
Did you end up a clown?
No, I'm actually scared of clowns.
Same thing with drag.
I'm a clown phobia.
The same thing with drag. You see a drag person, are you going to end up a drag?
No, it's just for entertainment. But these Christian right-wing fundamentalist freaks are just out of damn control. And that's why we have to go out there, promote Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and Democrats across the board, and show them that we're bigger than hate, we're bigger than transphobia, we're bigger than homophobia, and we're going to uproot them so bad. Lyndon Johnson and Ronald Reagan, not we have anything on Joe Biden when this election comes around. But that has to be the last word. To thank Elaine and Eric and
Susie
from Michigan, and also from West Virginia. Khalil from Virginia. Yeah, the Commonwealth of Virginia for calling in. We thank everyone for participating. Remember, we're on Facebook. We have a Facebook group, and we also have a Facebook community page. You could log on and look for kitchenpolitics123.com. That's our website. So until tomorrow, same time, same place, 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 7:30 p.m. Mountain Time on Block Talk Radio. This has been Kitchen Politics for Sunday, September 17, 2023. I'm David Franklin in New Mexico. Good night, Lori.
Good night, everyone. Thanks, everyone, for calling and commenting and sharing. And we'll see you tomorrow evening. Have a good, safe evening. Thank you all.
Have a nice night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Show me families, all the blood that I will bleed. you ride so fast. I belong, you belong.